Blog Talk Radio.
Cannot be completed
until August 23rd, which marks the 30-day no-trade period required after Wiggins signed his rookie contract. Many believe the proposed trade was the safety Cavaliers necessary was to satisfy the Cavaliers necessary to win now. Now, the Cavaliers will have their own big three, featuring a starting lineup with the three All-Stars, Irving, 22 years old, Love, 25 years old, and LeBron James, 29 years old. What's your outlook on that trade?
They had better do something.
Yeah.
So, hey, a smart move on their half. It's a good move for them as far as on court, I think. LeBron is smart.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm pretty sure LeBron had something to do with that. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to take all the credit away from the front office, but that was a good move on Cleveland's part. I don't know if it's enough to make a win now.
Right.
But it's a good move in the right direction to try.
Well, man said, his life's mission is to bring a championship to Cleveland. I think he's on the way. I think I seen on some of the ESPN website or some of that. They're the favorites now. I think they
yeah.
got 3-1 odds to win it all right now. Where Miami is way at the bottom.
Okay, let me say this. As a Miami fan, I know ain't no chance we gonna win anything.
Right.
Anytime
now.
Soon. If we have a winning season, I'll be happy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's where I am right now as a Heat fan. Even with that, I don't see Cleveland, they're the favorite coming out of the East.
No, they're the favorite in the league.
I understand what ESPN is saying. I don't know if you said it too. If you said it too, okay, I understand what you're saying. But are they building a team that can beat the Spurs, or are they just building a team that's going to win out of the East? Because they need to be concentrating on trying to build a team that can beat the Spurs. Right now, as far as I'm concerned, Spurs are still the favorite.
Well, hey, it's going to be an interesting season. I'll just put it that way.
Definitely.
My only question comes up in this trade is this. Did Cleveland give up too much for Love?
They trying to win now. And in order to win now, you got to give up.
But they gave up the number one overall pick from 2013, the number one overall pick from this year, and the number one pick for next year.
When you look at it, we still have the best player in the world.
And we compliment him with Kevin Love.
You
and
go.
you got Tyree Irving as the point. So you got to facilitate.
Yeah, what else do I need?
Yeah, you can put anybody anywhere else.
They in good shape.
And we don't know what Bennett or what Wiggins would have looked like. I mean, they're rookies. I mean, well, Bennett in his second year. Bennett will be in his second year somehow.
Okay.
Yeah, Wiggins would have been a rookie. So we don't even know rookie. But Minnesota is the better situation for them, if you ask me. The two players that were traded for Love,
and they get experience
right now.
And they can build a team over there together.
Hey, win-win situation for everybody, I think. Personally, for the Wolves and for Cleveland.
Cleveland came out on top though.
Yeah, and because Cleveland got LeBron, I give up 4 years from now. First pick. I got LeBron. I don't see. Do we honestly think we see anybody coming out of college in the next 3 years going crazy to what LeBron is?
I don't think you're gonna say that in the next
10, 15,
easy
20 years before we see another LeBron.
I would easily agree with that. It looks like everything in Cleveland turned out to be okay.
Mastermind, man.
Yeah, it looks like everything turned out to be okay.
I ain't ready to give him a chance yet. But that's just me.
That's fine.
I ain't gonna give it to him yet, but I can't say what, because just LeBron pedigree and what we know from his track record, he's been there with less teams to the finals.
We will revisit this conversation come March 15th.
Oh, I think it's definitely them. Me too.
I agree. All the East, they are going to be there. No question to me at all. My only question is the Spurs. Can they beat the Spurs? Can they beat Can anybody beat the Spurs?
The benefit this time for LeBron is he gets to get revenge, like the Spurs
got revenge on him.
Yeah, and I think
the tables have turned.
Yeah, and he in Cleveland. You're home.
And he's home.
You're home. It's like almost all over again. Yeah.
It'll be a nice series, man.
I think you see a whole another LeBron next year. I really do.
All that pressure, all that's gone.
I agree.
It's just he's home. I can play.
Oh, man. Do you understand?
I'm excited.
Yes, they can beat the Spurs. I'm going on record saying that. If he shows up
in the capacity I totally agree with that.
That we know that he can show up in, they're going to beat the Spurs. And whoever else coming out of the West to contend, they're going to beat them.
Okay, and then we're going to move on.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. It was no question that LeBron showed up this past year, right? This past season, LeBron showed up.
I ain't going to say that.
No, he gave up. He gave it in at the end, but, I mean, for the finals, he showed up. It was his teammates that didn't show up. So it's never a question, any kind of LeBron, past LeBron, new LeBron. I mean, he's going to show up.
If he's present, he's a factor. I get what you're saying, yeah.
Is his teammate going to show up?
Love, Irving, I like his team.
I'm excited to see it.
I like to see him and Irving. I mean, him and Love, really, more than Irving, because I don't know about him and Irving in the ball. But I do know now he can run free.
That's
dangerous. He can do whatever
he wants
under
the goal.
Yeah.
I ain't got to worry about bringing the ball up the court. Just give me the ball in the half court.
He almost becomes Michael Jordan in the triangle.
Oh, man. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. I agree.
Okay. Anyway.
Ooh, yeah, we got to go. Because we're going to do anything. We're just getting football season back.
Right.
Yeah,
why are we talking about
football? Next topic, which is a very relevant topic. I'm glad. And I had it, which most people probably won't know the backstory on this, but I'm kind of glad. I had found this previously to a conversation I was having on Facebook. With you and my sister-in-law, P.E.
Okay.
But the topic is basically Pope Francis urges young people not to waste time on internet. Mm. Pope Francis on Thursday urged 50,000 German altar servers not to waste time on the internet. Internet, smartphones, and television, but to spend their time on more productive activities. I quote, maybe many young people waste too many hours on futile things, the Pope stated. Our life is made up of time, and time is a gift from God. So it is important that it be used in a good and fruitful action. End quote. The Pope went on to say, who himself has a Twitter account, in several different languages stated, the internet is a gift from God, but also cautioned that the high-speed world of digital social media needed calm, reflection, and tenderness if it was to be a network, not of wires, but of people. Equal.
I agree, but I disagree. I don't agree that they shouldn't spend time on the internet.
Correct.
I think they should spend their time more wisely on the internet. That's just my opinion.
But to a certain extent, later, after he said not to spend so much time, he did say spend their time doing more productive action.
Yeah. So therefore, I agree with that. Because there's a wealth of knowledge on the internet that you don't get anywhere else.
Right. Which is true. I think more of what he was really getting at was the misuse of it.
Right.
Because
right.
He called it a gift from God. You know what I'm saying? So he understands the possibilities of the internet. And, of course, we just speaking hypothetically. We can't speak for the Pope. We're interpreting what his statements were. But he understands the importance of the internet. He just feels like it's being misused. And like he said, like, you know, if it's not going to be a network of wires, but of people, we should use it as such.
But at the same time, anything that human beings have access to, in some shape, form, or facet, it's going to be misused. Because you just have people who have bad intentions in the world. So, I mean, you won't get everybody, but it's a good message. You know what I mean? For those who open to receive the message, it's a good message.
I mean, I agree. Yeah, he assuming that he didn't mean just not use it altogether. Mm-hmm. I mean, because even he having a Twitter account, he understands that it's a means of connecting with everyone in the world, basically.
Pretty much.
You know what I mean? So there is a benefit to that. But like you said, that people involved in it is going to be misused.
Yeah.
They're going to corrupt it and all that nonsense. So good message though.
And the fact that it's prevalent enough for the Pope to make a statement on it shows us how much social media has a play in everyday. I mean, not so much even in everyday actions and influence, because the influence must be so much to the left or to the right, whichever way you want to look at it, that the Pope wants to bring it back to the center, because he's realizing, you know, it's pretty much. With all things, like you say, D, the devil can get in it.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he spoke out on it, because he's seeing the futile things that are being made out of it. So, big ups to the Pope, because most Popes won't even speak out on things like this.
Absolutely. I agree.
With that, we'll close up in the note today, as we always do, on a good note. And this one is a little dear to me because being a veteran myself, I thought this was interesting. $16.3 billion VA bill, a step forward. President Obama signed a $16.3 billion measure allowing the Veterans Affairs Department to hire thousands of doctors, nurses, and other health professionals at the VA's nearly 1,000 hospitals and outpatient clinics nationally. I thought that was a big step in the move to basically give the care to those who are coming back and deserve it. Because as prominent as it is to have the VA, a designated system, medical system, and all the benefits that it entitles to just one demographic, which I truly believe is necessary, because the military do undertake and deserve certain privileges once they come back, or they're back in the civilian sector. It's a great privilege, but at the same time, if the system is not designed or the system is not big enough to handle what is being taken in, you see what happens. And the system is great as long as we're not at war, because now the system is not being put into action as much. But once we become into war, you got soldiers coming home, need hospitalization, you got soldiers got certain disabilities, so now you see the system may not be as efficient as we all assume. So, signing a bill for $16.3 billion to implement the measures or the resources that the VA needs to up these soldiers, hey man, that's a big up.
I've said it before, and I'm going to say again. I feel like the military, whether veteran or not, need to have their own community, resources, all of that. So I applaud and I agree with this move, because the military does something that the average civilian or the average person does not do. They sacrifice something that we don't sacrifice. So they should have an added benefit. I have no qualms with that whatsoever.
Also, I think he's smart to realize that once this war is finally ended, there's going to be a lot of veterans that need assistance. And what he's doing is, what I think he's doing is preparing for an influx of military people that need that medical attention. So, smart move on his part.
Now, if that be true, you know how my mind works.
Yeah.
That means he's anticipating a lot of damage.
Or he just knows the damage of war. Because once the war is over is when you find out the damage up there.
Right.
As in, on a personal level, speaking from the soldiers. They don't realize that in war the damage is being done is once they come home and they're damaged. And that's why, but like you say, Bone, which is a great point, he's setting up now because he's ended the war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more ground troops in Iraq. And he's saying by the time this year ends, he's going to try to transition to the fact that he only has, I think it was, what, 6,000 or something?
Right.
Soldiers in Afghanistan. So by the time he leaves office, he can transition everybody out of Afghanistan. So once that happens, you're looking at 2017, where all of a sudden the VA is going to be bombarded.
Right, exactly.
And let's be clear, we're not just talking physical damage.
Yeah, right. I'm talking outside of that.
Exactly.
Because the physical damage is really over. If the war is over, there's nothing that, you still have, you know, hostile engagements probably in Afghanistan, but if there's no ground troops in Iraq, there's nobody to be injured. Because everybody's on base somewhere or safely back.
Now, I'm going to kind of veer off a little bit, but not really. Do you think, being that we started the airstrike, do you think we can complete this mission without putting troops on the ground?
What, some of the mission?
In Iraq, right now. Now that you've approved the airstrikes and the airstrikes have started, can you complete the mission with airstrikes?
It depends on what your ultimate outlook and what you're trying to get out of it. If you're just trying to show them your force, yes. If you're trying to go and try to take over and establish something through airstrikes, it'll never work. And the same thing happened, I tell people this all the time, when it was early on, when I was early in the military, like first couple of years, but the Taliban bombed our embassy in, I think it was in Africa somewhere. Somalia, somewhere like that, they bombed our embassy.
The Libya thing?
Yeah. And Clinton didn't really address it outwardly to the public or nothing. He went and did an airstrike on him and left it alone. And it kind of took care of itself. So it's been done before the airstrike thing. But it comes down to if you're trying to go in and force your will on a government, this airstrike isn't going to change. Like, you're going to hurt them. But if you're just trying to enforce your will, as far as letting them know, hey, look, don't make me come back.
That's what I was about to say. Basically, the airstrike is a move of showing, hey, just because we ain't on the ground don't mean we can't touch it.
Yeah, but, okay, here we go.
And you ain't doing that on the ground. There was accomplishments. And this is my personal opinion. I was on ground. I had boots and sand, so I'm telling you. There was accomplishments, absolutely nothing but getting soldiers killed on the ground. That's it.
Well, that just shows my ignorance to the whole military thought process, I guess I'll say it that way. Because me, personally, if I got control, if I'm going to operate through the air, obliterate.
Yeah.
That's all I want. Hey, look, I'm going to give you 3 days. Everybody who don't want the positives, get out, because I'm coming through. Swift, I'm gonna be to the point, and I'm going home. Go in, do what I gotta do, I'm going home. I ain't gonna play these games with you. I'm just showing you what I can do. No, I'm not doing that. I didn't come way over here for that.
But what you get yourself into, and this is the crazy dynamic of war, and this is why I believe there's no such need for it, but what you get yourself into, because it just carries on. If you go over there and you bomb up just the area you want to, you're gonna kill innocent bystanders.
Hey, I gave you time to get out. I told you what I was going to do.
But now you have everybody else looking at you as if you can't do that. You got same sanctions in place from the UN and
stuff like that. I told you that. This explains my ignorance as to this process. But at the end of the day, I'm not wasting time, money, effort in showing you what I'm about. I'm not doing that.
Well, what's that? You blowing up.
Yeah, we're blowing up. And we did that.
I want to come back.
We did that in World War II to Japan. And we still paying them back for it. So Germany too, also, but really Japan. We dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and all that, but it killed a lot of innocent people. And that's why Japan, Japanese people really don't care for Americans.
How can you say you're killing innocent people if I told you to get out?
I told you, I gave you.
Why I gotta get out?
Why I gotta get out of my home? Why I gotta leave my home?
Because you're in a war zone.
That ain't my fault.
You are in a war zone.
But you making it a war zone.
No, they made it a war zone. I didn't start this. I'm just finishing.
That's why they're innocent, though. Because they're not the ones who initiated. It's someone else that they may be affiliated with. They may not. Matter of fact, I take affiliated out of it. They may not know the kind of.
Let's take this out of war context. If the people getting ready to pave your street,
right?
And they tell you don't park your car on the street. They give you a week's notice. Do not park your car on the street. We coming through the pave. If you park your car on the street, you had warning. You had notice. We let you know what we was doing. You didn't request it. You had nothing to do with it, but you're required to do something about it. You're required to act. Don't park on the street. Or else your car's going to be full of may. You may run into some pavement on the side of your
car. I get it, but the difference with that is you can't tell me don't park on my car.
I didn't.
I don't own the street. You own the street.
Exactly. You don't own that city. You don't own this city.
I own my house.
Well, okay, what's that house then?
But you bumming the area.
Sorry, unfortunately.
I mean, but either way, it's a bad situation.
It is.
If you tell them to leave, then you're creating refugees. But where are these people going to go? Who's going to care for them? You warned them to get, told them to get out. Are you going to feed them now that you told them to get out?
They're dropping food anyway. So we told them they're dropping food and water anyway.
In the area that they're bombing?
I don't know where they're dropping it at. They just dropping it. I don't know where they're dropping it at. I can't tell you that far. But they are dropping aid as they're dropping bombs.
Yeah, but they not obliterating either.
And the truth is they doing something because they dropping food.
Right.
If they dropping food and stuff, they doing something.
Play the game, man. Go ahead and do what you gotta do and come on back home. We ain't got time for that.
But it's just a show of will, though. It's a show of will and power. That's
what get people. That's pulling out that gun and ain't being ready to shoot. That's what gets you messed up. You gonna pull it out, shoot it, and be done with it, or stay home.
What you're going to do is eventually get yourself back in a war.
That's what you're going to do.
And it's a
never ending. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Let's go ahead, do this, be done with it, and move on. Now the next obstacle we run into, you see what we buy. If we come, we come.
I mean, the crazy part about war, period, for me, is that war has rules.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
You have rules of engagement, but it's war.
And they usually are carried out.
This whole Geneva Convention thing, I don't understand. I try to, but I don't get it. How do you fight fair?
Right.
We're fighting.
Right.
If you fighting in the neighborhood and somebody getting the best of you, it's a stick. It's a rock. It's something. I got to get the advantage back.
It's the dynamic of war trying to be almost socialized.
Or humane. They're trying to humane.
You cannot. War
humane. And it's not really no way. There's no way you can do that.
War is unjust, period. Ain't no way around it. What are you winning? You're taking lives. To win a right.
To prove a point.
Well, yeah, at the end of the day, nobody's winning.
I'm sorry, we got off topic.
Yeah,
President Obama,
big
do
up.
Your thing, man.
Big ups for that, man, and all the veterans and soldiers currently serving. We salute you. With that, we're moving to today's show. The title of today's show is Chronicling Life's Individual Mission. We basically came up with this title kind of on a whim, kind of honestly. We was kind of having a conference call kind of thing, conference text, whatever you want to call it, but it was a conference in between us. And, Bone, you put the statement out there, what was your first mission?
Yeah, it really was a myth quote, but the statement in itself intrigued us. So, you know, like I guess people in opposition do. We look for things to intrigue us. So it intrigued us, so we figured, hey, why not? Let's talk about it.
All right, who's going to kick it off?
Well, I mean,
I'm returning.
No, kick it off.
I'll take it. You know, like I said, the initial comment or statement was a misquote. But after it was put out there, I started thinking about it. Actually, I think me and you were talking, Corey, and while the question we asked ourselves was, what was our first mission? And I'm not going to say what Corey said, let him lead that to him, but, you know, my initial thought was discovering me. You know, within that process of self-discovery, I realized that there was something else I needed before I could start that. But initially, I needed to know who I was, you know, what were my beliefs, I know we talked about in the last show, somewhat heatedly, that that, you know, we're influenced by a lot of things, whether it be society or our parents or our siblings even. You know, we're influenced by a lot of outside forces. And in a journey to find yourself, I feel like you have to wade through those. You got to wade through those outside influences and discover you and what you think and how you feel about things. And basically make a decision. Are you going to find your own path, or are you going to follow someone else's, you know, down their path? You know, for me, that was a big question that I had to tackle early in life. You know, what I was going to be. You know, I knew I was different for whatever reason, but was I going to, you know, fall into the mold of what my environment showed me, or was I going to be different? Or was I going to be me? That was a real big battle for me in the beginning.
Now, I pose the question to you, based off what you just said, that you have to kind of deflect other people's perceptions and influence in order to find you. Maybe it's not a question, it's more of a statement. I can see that, but I also see how those perceptions can be valuable, because in listening to what somebody else may think or believe, I in turn question whether I believe or think the same thing. So I still find what I believe through what you believe, if I'm open enough to consider it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if I'm saying this the right way.
It kind of influences you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It influences you to question yourself. Don't influence you to act based on what they said or shouldn't. If you feel like the Spurs better than Cleveland, okay, do I believe that? No, I don't. And why? Okay, so now I know what I believe now based on a statement you made. The difference being, I think leaders do things one way, followers do things another way. So, based on what you choose to be or who you are.
Yeah.
But you saying your first mission was finding yourself, finding out who BJ is or following it. That was your first mission.
That was my mission.
Okay. Do you think you completed it?
Oh, no.
But you identified it.
And I had to identify that. And within identifying that, I needed to go in myself. And, you know, say this. Not to say that I don't ever listen to anyone else's opinion, you know, but I choose what I allow to influence me.
Mm-hmm.
If I choose to listen to what you say, yes, that will influence me. If I choose not to listen to what you say, it won't have any influence on me whatsoever. You know, and I'm still going to form my opinion without that information that
right. You
decide to give me. You know what I mean? If I ask for it, that's a whole other story. So, I mean, everybody is different.
Yeah.
First of all, everybody is different. That's why everybody's journey is going to be different. That's why everybody's mission is going to be different. Because everybody's different. Everybody don't learn the same. Everybody don't process the information the same. I can sit here and tell my nieces and nephews right from wrong and tell them what they should be doing, what they should worry about, what they shouldn't worry about, what I had to deal with when after high school, and what, you know, this person dealt with out of high school. They can choose to listen to me or not. More than likely, they not. They gonna have to find that out on their own.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I totally agree. For myself, coming from the first stance of Onion, of my realizing what my mission was in identifying. I think I was like seven years old, if I remember correctly. And being at seven, I mean, it came to me pretty much, I wanted to succeed, period. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I identified the fact, whatever I was doing, I wanted to succeed. And I realized that at that point, I had a presence. And at a seven, imagine being 7 years old and realizing when you go somewhere, you can light it up. And inside of knowing that, I felt in some inside of me, somewhere I identified the fact that I was going to succeed someday in it. Never knew what.
Well, whatever it is.
But I knew I was going to succeed. And I said, now it took me, it was a journey to understand myself as a person to realize how to total grasp it. And I still am at, right now at this point in life. But I do know at seven, I knew what I was, what I wanted more than anything else in life was to succeed. Any kind of care.
Well, I'm going to say this. Mine's going to be a little different.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
But it was a mission nonetheless. My first actual mission was graduating high school. And I've said this, and it may sound crazy, but that became, I found myself, I should say, in a mission at 16.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated at 16, 17, what was I, somewhere now. I almost didn't make it. And it's crazy to say that right now, but I almost didn't make it. So I understand finding yourself, and I understand being successful, but for me, first actual mission that I can recall is getting a high school diploma.
But you know what though? All our examples are different, but they come back to succeed in something. And finding ourselves. That's what you, the two things you find that the common denominators in both and all our examples is succeeding and finding ourselves in doing so. So that if we can throw it out there, we can say for identification, the first thing we identify is that we want to be find who we were. And we want to succeed in doing it. So even though we gave different examples, which everybody will, that's why our missions are different. We all came to almost the same understanding at the end of the day. And I'm willing to believe you can put 10 more people in here, and if they're honest, and whatever they say, you'll still lead back to finding yourself and succeeding in doing it. That's why, like, when we say chronicling life's individual mission, I don't think the mission's going to deter them. I think maybe the premise and where you're going and what you may choose to do, because I may not like what you like. But at the end of the day, I think the base is going to be everybody wants to be successful in whatever it is they choose to do.
Or else why do it?
Right. Exactly.
It could be something wrong. But you can still be successful in doing
it
wrong. That makes sense. I'm going to jump in and understand this thing.
Go ahead.
In the moment, there was no understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a reason to have understanding. I didn't have to support myself. I didn't have to do nothing, really. I was a kid going to school, supposed to be going to school. I said to BJ, you know, when we were talking or whatever, you know, 11th grade, I missed, now the school year is like 180 days or something like that, where you know the school is 180 days.
Mm-hmm.
From fourth period to, we had seven
is by, I think by 11th grade year,
we went to six.
Okay. You gotta be right by six.
Whatever it was, after lunch. Wherever I was supposed to be after lunch, I missed almost 70 days.
That's probably 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. 4, 5, and 6. I missed almost 70 days out of school. 11th grade, yeah. There was no understanding. School didn't have an importance to me. What was important to me was going to do what I wanted to do, and that's leaving school, going to hang out. whatever that entails, that's what I did. Again, I'm a teenager. Mm-hmm. I have a vehicle. I go to work. I felt in the moment I was growing. School had nothing to do with what I was doing. I didn't need school to do what I was doing.
It was a waste of time.
Man, I don't got to be here for what? I could be somewhere on another planet right now. Enjoying myself. Why am I here listening to something that I really don't think is useful?
Yeah, I'm late.
But I mean, I understand exactly what you're saying. I understand that feeling too. Like, I mean, no worry, your own vehicle, you know, means of doing what you want, getting what you want. You know,
it was. I can go anywhere in this county,
right,
and be okay. What do I need this for?
You know. Yeah, it was hard. It was difficult. I can understand that.
Yeah.
You know. I guess you could say I had senioritis. I was all right to my senior year.
No, I ain't seen you get to the senior year. That was 11th grade. That
yeah,
was your senior year.
Yeah,
that was 11th grade.
But that's what I mean, I was all right to my senior year. Itis hit me on my senior year.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of skated through myself, you know, as far as... I went to school every day, but...
You weren't doing
it. I wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
See, the understanding and the sad part about this whole thing, we're laughing right now, but I had no reason being in that position.
No, you chose
it. Right, exactly, that was a choice.
I had no reason whatsoever to be in a position to where there was a chance that I might not get a diploma.
And that's the understanding now.
That's the understanding mm-hmm. now. That's why I became a mission.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't see myself not getting a high school diploma. And I was that close to allowing it to happen, even after I understood, you're not going to get a diploma. I got in my mind, man, I really don't need it. I don't care. I did. But I just couldn't do it. I couldn't allow myself not to have it. But at the end of the day, I walked into high school with a 3.78 grade point average. Not dumb. Not smartest in the world. I'm not dumb. It's just the lack of...
Understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you how crazy understanding... Well, not crazy. How understanding is. My understanding led me in my first mission, maybe about 11, 12, 5 years later, that I wanted to preach. Mm-hmm. I was going to succeed, and I was going to be a president, because this was the first thing I realized at 7. And I was going to do that and preach it. My mom killed that for me. Yeah. She shut that down. Now today, understanding as an older person and with a little more maturity under my belt, I was just wanting to do it because I seen it as a mission. I wasn't called to do it. You know what I'm saying? She understood that better than me at that time. I took it as, you know, as her giving me my dream and what I should be doing, but now... reflection on it, I understand. But inside of that, I became conflicted because I couldn't preach. Now, and I thought that was my mission. And I became conflicted on leading or downplaying my call to lead. And this is where you find me at in my teenage years, where I'm dumbing down myself because the people I'm choosing to be with or be around, I don't want them to know I'm smart anymore. Because in my mind, my mission to succeed and to be a president was the opposite of the president I now became. And the president I had became then, because my understanding is so mixed up, but this is understanding for you. You have to go through a journey to get understanding. And in understanding that, I allow my mind at some point to become open to what if tomorrow doesn't come. What if this mission you done put yourself out here for? What if it don't come? In this moment, the presence you are representing is what is left. That's where my whole understanding came to where I'm at now today. At some point, I had to sit down with myself and understand, yes, you were called to succeed. You were called to lead. And maybe it wasn't in a preaching stance, but you will be a presence. But your presence wasn't the way you wanted it to be. It's the way God is going to show you this morning. And with that, you have to open your mind to what he's telling you, not what you want.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Because you went from identification, mm-hmm. by identifying, I want to be successful. And in that, you thought that you wanted to be a preacher.
Right.
You felt
you
wanted to be a preacher. Until your mama told you, hey, no, you're not.
Exactly.
We don't play like that.
Exactly.
What if you were right?
And you know what? And I often go back to that question myself. It's not never, I'm never counting that out of the equation. That may still be my call.
Listen to what you're saying. I changed based on the answer I got when I exposed what I wanted to do. The reaction I got made me change my thought process, mm-hmm. made me change my action.
Mm-hmm.
So much so to my intelligence is no longer important. I need to, because I'm enjoying where I am, I need to put that in my back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
To come back to the point now where you understand the reason for your intelligence and you now have to go back and reshape everything to get back to a place you were already at,
mm-hmm.
before you started changing.
Yeah.
Influence.
It changed. Yeah.
Now, hey, I'm not going that way because...
No, but that's why I threw it out there.
Yeah.
Because it's relevant. In her understanding, and I credited it may be wrong for her to deter me, she was doing what she felt was best for me at that time because she didn't feel... I hadn't probably exemplified or showed her anything to make her think I was worthy of being called a preacher at that time. My actions may not have been in the right place, but God had told me that at a young age. So, and today, and coming back to it, it used to be a time for me when I went back and forth with the question of, are you going to preach it, or will you ever do it? And I was like, no, you know why? Because I couldn't give up this. And I ain't going to talk about Jesus in front of everybody and God about it and everybody. Now I find myself doing it and don't care, without even the title. So if you place the title on me, I'm already there. So it doesn't bother me like that. But before, I was fighting it. So in my understanding, like I said, I had to open my mind to whatever possibility could come because tomorrow may not. And in doing that, God told me, whatever you want, whatever I want you to be, accept.
And I already told you what that is.
Yes.
I already told you what that is.
And yes, your mother influenced you, yes, but you were a child also.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Once you became an adult, then you realize that you may not have said that influence was wrong or whatever, mm-hmm. like that, but you questioned it. So, I mean, in that, you may have, and I don't want to speak mm-hmm. for your dad, but may have, you know, put up a little shield a little bit as far as allowing people to influence you. You want to think this out yourself and figure it out yourself before you allow influence to come into your life. So...
I think the benefit of what Mama did, to piggyback on what you're saying, Bone, because I agree with you. I think the benefit of what she did, however it may have went about, it gave me the chance to go figure it out for myself. And that was the fundamental part of the understanding, because now today I can sit here and say, if it happens, it happens. I have no problem with going with it. To be totally honest, I see it coming faster than I realize. The fact we sitting having this conversation, and like I said, I took notes on this and I kind of wrote out and mapped how it was going to go on, but I didn't see it going this way, and that's God again leading me to what he wants me to see, and I'm open to that.
I think we could take a lot from this though. I get where these are coming from, but I'm looking at it more from the parent side. If your kid walk up to you right now and say, or you ask them what they want to do, and they say, I want to be president. If I turn around and say, come on now, we ain't going to do that. We're going to
mm-hmm.
focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I just killed that.
Yeah, you killed.
Whatever they say, this is what I want to do, regardless of how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I should be open-minded enough to accept whatever it is
mm-hmm.
they say.
Because
mm-hmm. if I don't believe in you,
right?
Who
else will? And instead of killing that dream, then you go, okay, well, you want to be president? Well, the president has to be smart. The president
right,
has
right.
to know,
encourage.
Know geographical things. He needs to know political. He needs to know math. So what you really need to do is concentrate on your schoolwork. and concentrate on going to college, getting a college degree, maybe even a master's or something like that, so that it'll better your chances to become president. You feed into that dream that way. Okay. If y'all don't mind, I'll jump in.
Go ahead.
You know, I identified my initial mission as being, you know, a finding of self. Within that mission, I discovered that before I could find myself, I needed to find what would really allow me to find myself.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was God.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while. Like you, Dad, I got caught up in that initial mission, maybe, and I got deterred when I couldn't figure it out, and frustrated, maybe got down on myself, maybe even a little depression, you know. I thought initially I wanted to be, you know, a football player.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work out. At one point, I wanted to be, you know, in love.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work out. Maybe that was the key to me finding me. You know, wanted to be a photographer. That mission ain't dead, but that didn't necessarily work out the way I thought it would. You know, so it took me some time. It took me several years, obviously, to come. And I really only came to this realization, I'd say maybe 4 years ago, 3 years ago maybe, that it was bigger than me. And that I needed something bigger than me in order to find it. And so I did what any person would do. I went to church. You know, I attempted to read the Bible. I didn't get past Genesis, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I did, you know, go to church. I pay my tithes. I do everything that, you know, a good Christian's supposed to do. You know, find God. And even within that, I realized, man, I really don't need all of that. I don't need all of that. I need a relationship with God. And once I got a relationship with God, He gave me the tools in order to work on myself. So that was my understanding.
It's a hell of an understanding, too, though. Because in that undertaking, what happens is you let go of it. And that was an easy sentence to come out of my mouth, but attempt to let go of anything.
We talked about that. Me and Corey talked about that. And I told him that, you know, it's difficult, but once you do it, you know, there's no signs to know you almost there. Nobody can tell you I see it in you. You almost got it. But when you get it, when you finally do let go, there's a feeling that I can't describe, but you will know it because you never felt it before.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, and this is for those people who think like me. What makes letting go difficult is, how do I let go of something that I don't know I'm holding on to? Like, if I don't realize I'm holding on to something detrimental, if I don't realize I'm holding on to something that is intangibly detrimental, I can't see it, can't touch it, can't taste it, none of that, but it's something that's stopping progress. That's hard. That's what makes it hard.
Yeah.
When you've been trained to fight.
Yeah.
When you've been trained and told all your, don't give up, fight, do this, give all you got, blah, 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 blah. Then to find out that, no, you got to give up. That goes against everything in your being.
And it's a conflict. And it's the conflict of me. It's the conflict that has been put here for all of us to go through to find that we need God. That's the only way that somebody can be broke down to the point they understand you can't do this by yourself. You have to come against that conflict. And in that conflict, like Bone said, he found out, I didn't need you. Not saying nobody else do.
Right.
just personally from his standpoint, he didn't need to read the Bible. He opened his heart to God. Once he did that, he got to understand. I say the same thing. Once I was open enough to realize that I had to, tomorrow it may not come, and I wasn't doing it, I wasn't being efficient on my own doing it, I needed something, and I realized it was God, things changed. Now all the understanding becomes to the fact of, when I told you at 7, you was going to preach, that's what I told you. You can go wherever you want to. You're 35 now. It hasn't changed. And you will succeed in doing it. I may never preach on and have my own church. I may never preach from the standpoint of the traditional standpoint. But I do believe I'm going to preach my truth through what God has given me to the world. I believe that. And I believe in doing so, I'm going to change lives. That is my mission. I've skipped ahead. But that is my total mission because I forgot full, and I'm going to get full on this topic because
we know it.
Because now I see my mission clearly. I see it so clearly. But I'm not going to jump ahead because we're on the topic. See, I understand your point. But in understanding that, that conflict, it's okay. Because that conflict is supposed to be there. It's not like it was just chosen for you to go through it or anyone else to go through it. That conflict is supposed to be there. That's that conflict that's going to show you what you're going to do. And getting through it is going to prepare you for whatever you need to go through once you got it. Because now you understand, hey, he took me through that. Whatever you put in front of me now, he gave me the position to be able to stand flat-footed in front of you and say, listen, we beat the last one. I guess you come here to get the same thing. But you have to go through that. We all went through it. Man Bone went through it. You heard him explain it. He was explaining it when he was saying he was depressed.
Here's my understanding, though. I don't think it's a you go through it and it's over.
No.
I think it's different levels. I know some things that I have gone through, and the only way I came out on the other side was because I had somebody leave.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. Right now, it's a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
Same principle, different situation. When this is over, you go through your spurt where you, it's kind of like a traffic jam.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sit in the traffic until the road's clear. The road's clear, you go ahead on. That don't mean you ain't going to run into another traffic jam in the next city. Totally different city.
Mm-hmm.
You in the same car. Same principle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna bring this down from a spiritual level and bring it to, like, I don't know, what's the word you use when you're talking about relationships between men, not men, but you get what I'm saying.
You mean like a social level kind of, like,
yeah,
an interaction?
We can go with that. This same principle of giving up, you run into in marriages.
Mm-hmm.
In friendships, in any type of relationship you have, we get in the habit of fighting to prove our point, or fighting just because it's all we've known. I can't depend on nobody else. But at some point, you have to allow yourself to be vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
to another person.
Yes.
That's hard.
Yes.
It's kind of like I'm in a weak state right now, but I'm vulnerable, and I have to let you know that I need you. How many of us can say that and not feel some kind of way after saying it?
You know what's crazy about that, and that's a good point. But think about this: no one has ever seen God, but a person will willingly say out of their mouth and freely say out of their mouth, I surrender everything to God. I give my all to God. I'm totally open to God. Now, you see me in the flesh every day, and you know I'm taking care of you. You know I will love you through anything. And you can't submit that to me. It's far out there if you look at it from that standpoint, but it happens so common.
Like you say, it's the struggle of man. It's man's struggle.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are, at some point or another, you'll find yourself in that struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You will. If you deal with people, you will find yourself in that struggle. Some people don't believe in God. That's why I brought it down from
right.
a godly relationship.
Right. A more practical level.
Yeah.
You deal with people a little.
Right.
And at some point or another, you find yourself in a vulnerable position. Now, what do you do? Does my fear of this situation make me lash out at you because I'm in the situation? For me, I've done it. And I have to catch myself doing it. Because I don't like being in this position, and because I don't want to let anybody know that I'm vulnerable, I lash out. All the time, pushing away what could have helped
me. Yeah.
You said something a second ago, T, getting through one mission and moving on to the next, and it made me, I had a flashback, real thing. And I was thinking last night, it was about 3:30 in the morning, sitting on the porch and looking out the window, and I just so happened to have a perfect view of the moon. And I just stared at it. It was a full moon, it was bright, wasn't a cloud in the sky. And I just looked and I looked and I looked at the moon for several minutes. I found myself just gazing at it. And my mind completely cleared. And then all of a sudden, my mind was just bombarded with everything. All kinds of thoughts. And it distracted me, and I stopped looking at the moon. And I got mad with myself. I got mad with myself because I felt like in that moment, those minutes that I was staring at the moon, and that was peace and calm. And you said this before, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
It was peace, it was calm, it was quiet. I felt like in that moment, I was connected with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only thing I could think of by looking in the sky and looking at the stars is like, how could anyone question the strength of God? The ability of God. How could you question that? Just look at the moon and think of the significance of the moon. The moon is just not out there for us to look at.
No, it's not.
It's not just out there to light our way at night.
Like 50 some states.
Mm-hmm.
The world.
There you go.
It lights
I'm minimizing it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, it lights the world. It controls the tides of the sea. Our planet is made up of mostly water, and the moon controls that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not coincidental. That was done on purpose. So I mean, for me. Man, I don't want to offend anyone. I hope I don't offend anyone. But at the same time, please allow me to be me. I feel like my mission is to know God, love God, fear God, and put no man before God. No man. We are surrounded by men and women all our lives. But in order to get that connection with God, we can't put not one of them before Him. And just the moment you do, your mind is clouded. No longer do you have that connection with God. That somebody is blocking your way now. That for me, I feel like I kind of might have went off.
Mm-mm.
No, you went.
But
you went on.
That's just the importance, man. The importance of God, having God in your life, man. If you don't have God in your life, you are walking in this war zone, blinded. You might have a gun, you may have a knife, you may have on Teflon and all this, bulletproof helmet. Don't matter. If you are blinded, what good are you?
Come on, T, because listen, Bone, I have to say this before T come in, but I got to say it. That was very profound. And it was so, it was strictly from your soul, and it was your total understanding of a moment. With God. Everybody don't get this plain. That's the beauty in what I just heard.
I ain't got nothing to say. I'm gonna let this be for a minute.
You know what? Everybody, and it's not. Listen, we're tongue tied, and we got up because that's how the spirit moves sometimes, and we're trying to, I guess, at some standpoint, hold back where we may go, but I'm finna let loose.
There you go. Let's go.
I'm finna move right on into implementation because I think it we there now. It ain't no sense to keep kicking the other two topics. We there. And my implementation, and you and Bone just gave me beautiful leeway into it. Living needs no introduction. It really doesn't. And Bone just gave it to you. Just stop. It'll catch you. You don't have, you gotta stop chasing it. Sit still. It'll catch you. And understanding that, I'm gonna do something. I'm gonna go somewhere. And I usually wouldn't do this, but like I said previously and earlier, I said, it doesn't bother me anymore. And I'm gonna be me, I'm gonna be what God has sent me to do. I'm going to carry that out at all costs. I have a charge to keep. A God to glorify. A never dying soul to save. And fit it for the sky. To serve this present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all, my powers engage to do my master's will. I love each and every one of you. That is all I'm implementing to do. Period. Whenever my soul goes back to a time where I was lost, I hear a charge to keep my hand, a God to glorify. I hear that resonate in my mind. To serve this present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all, my powers engaged to do my master's will. To say that gives me more joy than doing anything I've ever done in life. Just to say that. To know I can say that. So imagine the power I'm going to put behind doing it. It is my mission now in life. It is my total mission now in life to let God's will be done through me. Period. Point blank. Nothing else. I catch myself in the moment of talking to people in the line going out of the grocery store, stopping myself from thinking judgmental thoughts and holding a conversation with the person next to me. Because I don't know in that moment how much I can impact. I want to impact everybody I encounter. If I don't impact you, then I'm displeasing God. And for me, that is the most unenjoyable thing I can ever do in life, is not please God. So when you see me, and you're going to hold me to this now, I know, because I've said it on air. When you see me, my impact is going to be felt. I have a presence. God told me at 7. I have a presence. You're going to feel it. When you see me, you're going to feel my presence. I'm here to show you what God can do. He didn't make me a drunk for no reason. He didn't make me sober just to be a drunk again. He made me sober to show you his will, to show you what he's capable of doing. Now, if I sit here and don't carry that out, I'm displeasing God. Would you displease your father? Because I won't mind. I'm not. I will not. I refuse to be what I used to be because God made me what I am today. And if God gave it to me, you can't take it, so I don't care about what you got to say. You go hear it or you don't. It doesn't bother me. That's fine. My soul is free. My soul is totally free, man. This is implementation. I went through all those changes. I realized what I was going to do at 7. He told me. At 12, I thought I was going to preach then. No. I got to take you through something. But you got it. You there. But you ain't going to preach in a church, maybe. Maybe you just going to preach over a microphone. But not in a church setting. Maybe you're going to preach to the person in line at Winn-Dixie. However, you're going to spread what I've given. I have given you a platform. Your platform was to fall so I can pick you up and show the world ain't nothing I can do.
Ain't a man.
In saying that, don't think about it, dog. Wouldn't I be doing a displeasure to God after all I've been through and where I'm at today with my understanding and to sit back and be quiet?
Discredit the work that he's already done for you. Or done on you, to you, however you want to look at it.
When I look at it from an individual standpoint, and I understand, just for you to even address me in the manner that you have, I could never give you enough. I'm going to leave this world. I'm going to leave this world one day just as sure as I came into it. And I'm not going to fulfill my total mission because I could never give God what he's given me. I could never. And I'm okay with that as long as I get to see it. That's all I need, to be in his face, period. If I feel this good saying to you all my power is engaged to do his will, when I get with him, oh boy.
Won't it be
great? Oh, man. I'm sorry because listen, if you've been listening to our show long enough on TOAP, when we go talking about God, I get kind of high. When we talk about love, I get kind of high because I think they're interchangeable. I think they're one and the same. And at this point in my life, man, God has been so good to me. If I sat here and didn't get motivated or didn't get the spirit filled in me, something would be wrong. I can only shine what God has given me to shine. So if my light is dim, then ain't no God in it. So what I have to say today, I'm going to say even more tomorrow because God continues to shine on me because I allow it. And it was a time that the influence played a big part in it. I wouldn't allow myself to shine because at the end of the day, I felt more of the fact of what you had to say or what you may feel. You didn't save me. When I was in Iraq and that bomb hit that truck, it wasn't you who pulled me out because I didn't see you. I didn't see nobody, but I felt God. So I know who pulled me out. I don't owe you nothing. I don't owe the world nothing. Listen to me. I had fun. I had me a good time in the world. But it damn near cost me my life. So if it cost me that much to give my life to the world and I had nothing to show for it, I'm giving my life now to God, and I got the streets of gold to show for it. Boy, I'm sitting good, ain't I?
I'm enjoying this one thing. I don't want to.
Yeah, you just sitting back.
I don't want to.
You just let me and Bone do it.
Hey, do it.
We got to pull you in, though. Y'all got to come in now, because I ain't finna hold the mic. Y'all got to come in. Give me something.
Do what you're doing, man. I'm good.
You know, we talking about implementation. How do you put into motion something that you know will improve who you are?
Mm-hmm.
Let me change that. How would you allow yourself to block something that you know is intended to improve your life? That's a difficult question for me to answer because I do it too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by no means, just because I'm sitting here talking about God and the power of God, am I saying that I'm perfect and that I'm saying I don't make mistakes? Nah, you're still working on me. You're gonna be working on me for a long time.
That's the beauty in it, because you're steady getting better. See that God is smart, very smart. He's an intelligent God. Because think about it this way. He could have made us just like him in the world, but he's just great.
That's fine.
It was the reason why he chose not to, for that scrub. The only way for, he knew the image I'm making of myself, but the only way for them to understand the power of me is for me to show them my power. It's just like a child. If I let Kennedy get whatever Kennedy wants, Kennedy never understands the responsibility in working for yourself and going to get it. He's my father. I'm her father. It all rolls down, Jane. If I learn from what he showed me and I apply that to her, she's going to turn out in the same manner I was.
Okay.
Come on, T.
I was talking about high school and that being my first mission. I think y'all knew when y'all started talking you was going to draw me in this.
Yeah.
So here I go. For me, what I have come to understand, wherever I may be, in whatever moment I find myself in that space, That is what I'm supposed to be. Now, I thought about this a lot. Well, maybe I can pull myself off track and this, that, and that. If there was no benefit in it, he wouldn't allow
me. At all.
So, wherever, regardless of what anybody may think about where I am, what I'm doing, what I say, what I don't do, what I don't say, this, that, and the third, I am okay with where I am because I believe in my leader. You say you was looking at the moon, and it took you somewhere. And in the same instance, or in an instance, you found your mind jumbled with a whole bunch of other stuff. It's natural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
It's natural. You say you got mad at yourself.
I did.
Why?
Why?
If you were able to control that, you would have, you would be God.
But no, no. What it did was, now I've taken on the next part within my mission or within my journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, just like that, I got distracted.
Mm-hmm.
How many times does that happen to me throughout the day?
Mm-hmm.
It affects me at home with my family. It affects me at work, on my job. It affects me in the street when those things start bombarding me. And you know what I did the next morning? Well, hell, it was that morning. It hit me again. I was trying to write something. And I was focused on what I was writing, and all of a sudden it happened again. Bam, 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 being bombarded. I stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
I acknowledged it. Whoa, it's happening to me again. Let me see if I can do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Took me a minute or two, but I stopped it. I regained that focus. Now that's my mission. Now, I found something else that's hindering me from becoming a better person. Blocking me from, in a simple task of trying to write a poem, it stopped me. And again, I got upset, but that time I tried to do something about it, and I realized that I could. So why can't I take that to work? Why can't I take that in the street? Why can't I use that in my own home? When I find myself getting distracted, take a moment and refocus myself. Gonna come a time when that becomes easy. It's difficult now, but it's gonna come a time when that's easy. And then, you know, what doors would that open for me next? Maybe I'll write that movie that I've always wanted to write. Maybe I'll write that novel that I've always wanted to write. Maybe I'll you know, write and illustrate that comic book that I've always wanted to write and illustrate. You know, who knows what doors that will allow me to open and refocus and maintain my focus.
What it sounds like to me is you are in the process of accepting your focus, or accepting, I would say clearly, point blank, accepting what God is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I feel like He showed me something. He showed me something in those moments. A lot of times, you know, we say, show me a sign, Lord. Show me a sign if I'm on the right path, if I'm doing the right thing. And He may not show you right there. It may be days, weeks, months, years before He actually show you. Or before you actually see what He's showing you and pay attention to what He's showing you. He may have been showing you for years.
I texted you, you know, I say you, I'm talking about Derek. I texted you yesterday. I said, I kind of feel like something's happened. Something is changing. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain it. But I feel like something is happening. And I think I know what that is now. I think. And that's the point. I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm crazy. I'm saying this to the world. Corey is crazy. He thinks all the time. And it may not come off as positive a lot. It may not be positive. I don't know. But at the end of the day, I struggle with that. I fight with that. I question that. Why do I think of that? Why can't I just accept things for what they are and not have to know bottom line, this, that, and third, boom, boom, boom? Sorry, I got distracted a little bit. But that was one of them things.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened to you the other day. It just happened to me there. I gave you that. Just go with it. Wherever it takes you, there's something for you to gain. And it may not always be about you. It may be somebody else that I put in a specific place that you run into that you being crazy will impact.
Yeah.
Just go with it. Just allow it to be. Regardless of what you think people say, regardless of how you think the response is, regardless of anything, just go with what's natural for you. That's the hard part for me. Because I tend to compare. Well, why don't I do this? Or why don't I think this way? Or why don't I have to? No. Just be where you are. It's just that simple for me. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 20 minutes. I ain't concerned with it.
You're where you at right now.
I'm here right now. That's why I ain't got a whole lot to say. I'm listening. I'm taking in what y'all got to say. But I don't have a... I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here.
And that, like you said, it's never nothing done from God without a purpose. And that solidifies it in this moment. And even the fact that you can be vulnerable enough to admit to it. Because you may be in a conversation with other individuals where they feel as if because you don't have an input, you ain't got no kind of outlook. That's not what I'm taking. I'm taking from it you taking in the end to build your outlook.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the good thing about it. You know, and I got to piggyback off Bone, because Bone was saying something and it resonates. And it was two things. First, Bone introduced us with the moment of thought. And I just wrote a blog on something toward that where I was doing like a common kind of thing and just giving you that moment to find peace of mind. And this is how God leads me to write. And then I wrote a blog that I haven't even put out yet, and it was supposed to go out today. It is an awareness I can't remember what I named it. But anyway, in understanding this, awareness of agreement, I'm just going off on a tangent right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to bring it in. What I heard Bone say more than anything else just now was he became conscious. Not conscience. Which the same words. I broke it down differently. I know I pronounced it incorrectly, but I did that so you can see two different words. Conscious is being aware. That means at the end of the day, you know something has intrigued you, which I believe is God, to understand something in that moment. You're conscious in that moment. Conscience means an inner voice that leads behavior or action. Now, my actions may not ever show what my conscience really feels or what God has told me in the moment, because my actions doesn't work off my heart. My conscience is my heart. Your inner actions are behaviors. That's taught. That's the stuff that is influenced. So if somebody says to you, okay, at this moment I'm feeling my conscience, what conscience are we talking about? Are you consciously feeling me? Or are you going to act on your conscience?
I don't know, me personally, and I don't mean to interrupt.
Yeah,
no. I don't believe in that conscious stuff. I don't believe in that. To me, it's called a spirit. You can call it whatever you want to call it.
I'm not talking about people, I know people can call it whatever they call it.
For me, that thing that talks to you and tells you you shouldn't have done that, or you should do this, or go here, stay home, don't say that, don't watch that, that's your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you live through, if you accept it. I said this before on another show. If we get to the point, I believe, I don't know, but I believe, if we get to the point where we start trusting that without thinking about it,
yeah,
life will take on a whole nother game.
I totally agree with that. Bone just gave you an example of that.
Yeah.
He's giving you an example of him not trying to perfect it. Basically, what you're saying, he's saying, now I'm trying to get to the point where I can do that without the car.
And I think when he say, consult me, talk to me, acknowledge me first, and I'll direct you. That's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Just go with whatever it is. Don't think about the ramifications. Don't think about the possibilities. Don't think about nothing else. Just go along with that.
It kind of explains the power of prayer. Because if you praying and you if you wholeheartedly in your prayer, in that moment, you there.
You were right there.
You were there. You don't let everything else go. All you concentrate on is what you're talking to God about.
If you didn't believe it could be done, you wouldn't pray.
Exactly.
Now, some people say, I pray for faith. Don't make sense to me. In order for you to begin praying, you already had the faith.
Yeah.
So now what are you praying for?
Need the faith in order to pray, right?
Yeah.
So you're not praying for faith. You already got that. What are you praying for? If you ain't had the faith, if I ain't got the faith that you could do it, I ain't going to come ask you for $50 when I need it if I don't think you're going to get it to me. The fact that I got in my mind or picked up the phone to dial your number, somewhere in me, I believe that you either can do it or will do it.
I totally agree. You know, life's missions are individual.
Yeah.
I mean, it basically comes down to that. But the one thing I can take out of our conversation thus far is this. Everybody wanted the ultimate goal of finding themselves.
Absolutely.
You know what
and
I mean?
It's a process.
Yeah, and it's a process. And in accepting that, we may have more of a bullseye on where we're going now because we're older and we have more time to go through our journey and understand. We're still going through the process.
You can't catch up.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think you can catch up. Where you may realize you are right now, when you understand where you are right now, then you see where there is for you to go.
Go, yeah.
There's always he's always a step or two ahead.
You
never catch up. So it's always a process, and that's why it's called a journey. Mm-hmm. You never arrive. You don't get there.
Yeah. If you think you have, you're not going anywhere. And that was my whole point of saying that I know I'm going to leave it.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with leaving here not fulfilling what I've put before myself to think I'm going to get. God has given me everything I need and more at this point in my life.
You were born with it.
Yeah, I came in with it. I understood it at 7. And the only reason I can recall the 7 is probably when I became cognitive enough to understand what was going on. But it had to be in him and me when I came. It stayed that long and it ain't going nowhere. All you see now is more of the implementation of it because it's coming out. Where I went from the understanding to where I'm now carrying out my mission. Before I even knew it. In doing the show and going through it and finding my own notes on it and putting things together is when I understood I was implementing what I was called to do a long time ago. And the more we had the conversation on air earlier, I said I was understanding that God is still showing me. Why would I want God to ever stop showing me here on earth? Once he stops, I don't need to be here no more.
You won't be.
Yeah. I'll be with him.
Yeah.
Then I've carried out the greatest mission ever.
You fulfilled the purpose.
Yes. And that's all it's about. That's all it's about. We said this on another show, though, and it's true. It rings true. And I've been hearing it in my mind a lot since we said it. Purpose. Once you find purpose, it doesn't have to be to a specific entity. Just purpose. You have a purpose. You might not necessarily know what it is yet, but you know yourself that you're purposeful. You set. Because you ain't going to let that go. Because that gives you substance. You can't let it go. How can you forget your purpose?
Is it safe to say that maybe that's what's going on in the world right now? Why we're seeing all this crazy stuff on the news and youth are dying left and right, you know, without any kind of self-value. Is that because they don't have a purpose, or we haven't shown them that they need one?
Goes back to the demasculinization, the dehumanization, the feminization. They've become a product of it. So much so they don't feel like you can go up to the average teenager now and he'll be like, why should I care? Why shouldn't you care?
Teenager?
You want to go even lower than that?
No, I want to go higher than that.
You want to go higher than that?
Yeah.
But I'm setting up the process of why we get to the point now where you lose people at adults because you can't even catch them. Teenagers don't even have you had enough drive and you don't understand your mission was to graduate high school.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you can go get 15 teenagers right now. I don't even see that. And they are in high school.
The reason why I said higher is, and I'm taking back to government.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you fix things bottom up. You gotta start top down. You don't look for a child to train an adult. Look for the adult to train the children.
Mm-hmm.
If adults don't give a damn, why should the kids?
You got a good point. You got a good point, because at the end of the day, everything we've done and everything we figured out this far, thus far in our lives, it came from the exemplifications of our parents or those that was older than us.
Even if you don't see me do it, you gonna do it. I may not have graduated from high school,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to do it,
mm-hmm.
because I know what it's done for me. The lack of not having it, I know what, how it has negatively impacted mm-hmm. my life. I don't want you to go through the same thing. Whereas now we have people who say, well, I ain't graduated and I turned out all right. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's ignorance. At the end of the day, I say top down because it all starts with God. That's the ultimate
yeah.
top.
Yeah.
We don't consult him. And I got your question. I understood your question. But I don't think it has nothing to do with none of that. I think it's simply, utterly, and plainly, we refuse to accept it is what it is. The moment you alter that in any facet, you throw off everything. I am that I am. I said what I said, meant what I meant. Period. It's just that simple to me. That simple.
It really is, and I'm gonna tell you why. And I can only speak for myself, but I can tell you this one. I know where I was before I opened my heart to God, and I know where I'm at today with God. To have an undertaking like that and to be able to sit here today and to personify and to give this kind of passion to something shows me the power of God. I had passion before. Yes, I'm passionate about a lot of things. But I've known people for years to tell you today, I've never seen you as passionate. And when you were talking about my whole point is this. To experience it or to have God is the ultimate. To not have it, you just finding your way. Blindly. Like Bone said, you're just blind. I mean, I guess I'm trying to word put together the undertaking of having God in my life compared to not having it, and why would you want it? But it's hard because it's individual. But if you can see, I tell you this, think back on Derek in 2009, and think back on Derek sitting before you today. That's gone.
Let me ask y'all a question. How do you know when someone has God and when they don't?
You can only assume. But,
why would you?
But I can tell you this much. If you know God for yourself, you will know when they do and they don't.
Will you?
For me, if I have God, if I know God, it don't matter whether they know God or not.
It doesn't. It doesn't, but that's true too, Bo. That's true too. But in it, I think you are able to accept yourself, so you accept them high up. So you're really not looking for it.
If it doesn't matter whether they have God or not, what does it benefit you to have?
Benefit me worldly. I mean, it benefits me every day. I don't, maybe I don't understand the question.
No, Go ahead, Pete. But I think I see what he's saying. He's saying if you find the joy that you have in God, why wouldn't you want
How
them
could
to have
you not share?
Yeah.
Share it? I don't mind sharing it, but I'm not looking for it in them. If they don't have it, I mean, maybe something in my word. First of all, I've never had the notion or desire to be a preacher or a man of the cloth or however you want to say it. Never have I ever wanted that. So, I mean, for me, I'm sorry to say, you might get it from me, accidentally, but I'm not trying to give it to you. Hey, that's not my job. That's God's job.
And the beauty in that, even though his understanding may be different, it may differ from mine, the beauty in that, though, is that at the end of the day, if God is in him and I'm around him, I can pick it up still. You can't misplace it. Now, his calling may not be too professed in the manner that mine is. But the fact that he has it, if I'm around him, it matters. Now, in understanding God more for himself, he's going to talk about it. And he does. Bone does. Openly talk about God. We heard that today. So, in some ways more than others, he's not trying to feed it to you, but he's going to let you know what he at, where he at. Me personally, to answer that question, though, me personally, as far as knowing somebody else, it becomes judgmental for me to even to attempt to try to dissect it.
That's a waste of energy.
Right.
Me.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So if they say it, hey, you believe it, I believe it. Until you show me otherwise. And still at that point, who am I to judge? You know what I mean? If you honestly believe in your heart, you believe something, I can't change that.
I can't question it.
I don't understand your makeup well enough inside of you to be able to break that down. That's just crazy. Now, people will do it. I have been one of them.
That's why I asked the question.
I have been one of them to do it before, and I understand it. Now, with understanding more for myself that I had to come into my own understanding and nobody else could help me outside of God, you can lead and guide me and push me in certain ways, and I can hear you. But until I accept it for myself, I ain't gonna get it. So what I look like telling somebody who already said they believe, which is a great step, is I don't believe you. It's just like, listen, I'm not trying to throw my mom under the bus, but it was an example that was put out there. It's just like a mom. When I tell you I want to preach and you say no. But, you know, a thought can kill a person's destiny in an instant. An outward thought can. And also can predestine heartache. If you think in this moment, I'm going off on a tangent again, but if you think in this moment you're going to lose someone close to you, it can shatter you in that moment. This is how powerful a thought is. So if it can do that to you, why would I outwardly project my thought on you if it's just my thought? Because I can kill whatever you have going and don't never realize it. And that's why I say the conscious side and the conscience side plays a big part. Because when you move, if you're not directing what your conscience, like you say spirit, which I totally get, but the title has been conscious put on it for a word of stamp. But if you reject your conscience, you're rejecting everything that you made up of.
You're rejecting God.
If you act on your conscience, now you're doing what you want to do. Why we have to have two words that mean ultimately the same thing? Is it because you want to take credit from what conscience really is? Or is it because you want to defy conscience in a manly term?
I guess where I was going with the question is because I've asked myself this question. At the end of the day, what is the ultimate benefit or the ultimate responsibility that comes along with having a relationship with God? Why is that important?
Me? Sir. That's it and that's all for me. And I'm going to tell you why. if God is going to take care of me, and I'm a father myself, and he's my father, the ultimate father, if God is going to take care of me, and all I ask of my children in return for me taking care of them is to serve and do what they're supposed to in the manner that the platform I've laid out for them. Be it right or wrong, but if God leads me, it should be right, because I'm serving him in the manner he's at. The serving will fulfill my mission. I will never displease God. I think what people don't realize a lot of times, because service has been taken, and I'm not generalizing it, I apologize for saying it that way, but I think what I meant previously, and I still do at times, is the fact that a matter of you predestine yourself by not understanding the fact of God is who he is, period. He's going to do what he's going to do. All we have to do is serve. We're not less for serving. No. The last shall be first. But I mean, you're going to have to serve somebody. Everybody that was put on this earth that we look at as great, even our great Jesus, and I'm not saying that in a potential kind of way. I'm saying it for real, for real. Our great Savior Jesus served. So if that was the implication we take from Jesus as serving, that's all I need to do.
For me, I think the purpose is to become better. To strive to be better tomorrow than I was today. Mm-hmm. And to understand that is a constant process. That process never ends. Mm-hmm. Only time that process ends is when I shut my eyes for good.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully by that time, I've done enough to, as we talked about in the other conversation off the air, make it through them golden gates.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Kendrick Lamar said, you know, what did he say? We were talking about him too. You know, I'd rather pray to God than not pray to God and find out that I should.
Mm-hmm.
Not his exact words, but, you know, kind of sum up basically what he said.
Yeah.
You know, you got to believe in something. We don't know. We haven't been dead and came back, so we don't know if there's a heaven. We don't know if there's a hell. We don't know that.
Thankful to something similar. Anyway, his point was, I would rather live and get to the gates to find out there isn't a God than to live as though there isn't and find out there is.
Mm-hmm. That's it, exactly.
That's a deep statement.
It is.
Real deep.
Because at the end of the day, even if hypothetically, even if there isn't, the life that I live is enough.
Right.
I'm satisfied with the life I live.
It gives you purpose. It gives you purpose.
That word is a big word.
Yeah, it is. Who was that? That was Cece that
said. Yeah.
And I told you then when she said it then.
Yeah,
she
stopped and said, ooh, that's big.
That's a big word. If you do everything on purpose, you good.
Ain't nobody doing it on purpose wrong. Not
that kind of purpose.
Not conscious. Because whatever you do on purpose, you have meaning and feeling it.
I might have to disagree with you. I thought about it for a second.
Because I think we're saying it wrong. Not on purpose, but with purpose.
No, I disagree with that too, because there's just, like I say all the time, if you recognize there's a good force, there's an evil force.
Yeah.
And that evil force has a purpose too.
We can't get too blind. And I do that a lot. I do that because I'm where I'm at. And I understand that, but I also understand there's another force against me. But the farther I get to my father's side, the farther I don't even see that other side.
But, now, here's where the crazy part of me comes in. I feel like I want to. Nah, I don't say I want to. For some reason, I have a mindset of destroying. I want to destroy it. That other side. Mm-hmm. I do. I know you there. I see how you work. I want to get rid of you.
And I commend you in that. But I ain't wasting my time on that cat. I'm going to guard him. And the reason I do it that way is because it's less stress on me. It's only so much I can do.
We do know that God can't handle it.
Yeah. I'm undeniable.
So answer this question for me. Why hasn't he?
Because like it or not, he has a purpose. I don't think we'll ever be able to destroy him. Because, I mean, then what we really have to compare.
Right, exactly. God would never gave him the opportunity to be who he is if it wasn't a purpose for him. We said earlier it's a purpose. It's a purpose. So I get your point. But I don't believe it's for me and you to individually destroy him.
No. Not. I don't know how to say this the way I'm feeling it to get my point across. Do my part in the destruction of you.
Gotcha.
No, I'm not going to destroy you. But I can do my part.
But it's going to be my will to do everything I can.
In this war, I may be a pawn. If I can't take out nothing but a pawn on your side.
Well, we do know this much. If you take God with you, you all right.
Exactly.
So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, I understand.
Now, why would I have? I don't want that. That's not. That was given to me for a reason. Whatever that may be, however that may be used, whatever it is. But I think I was put here
to destroy. Then you was. And they don't think. It's your thought.
He knows that. So he's been using me to try to destroy me before I can get to him.
Exactly. He's using the same thing that you're supposed to be using to destroy him. Yeah.
Destroying people that I come in contact with. Because I'm allowing you to use me.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that I can sit here and tell you this, I'm talking to you. The fact that I can recognize this means that you lose. Your mission, your thing is to keep me blind. I don't see what's going on. I see it. Now I just have to give. That's the give up.
That's what you gotta let go.
That's the give up.
But listen, and I keep saying it because it is commendable. It's commendable that you have the insight to understand. I want to destroy you not by myself. I want to destroy you, period. It doesn't even matter who you with or what. It's the fact that you've taken on that. That's a powerful understanding. And that only came from God. But he's understood it too. Talking about Buddy on the other hand.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to make sure that don't happen because he sees how powerful you are. And understanding that, my testimony is my testimony. Your testimony is yours.
There it is. There it is.
But they're profound.
There it is. Each walk is different. Well, I have a militant attitude towards the other side.
And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing at all. Well, because we said it's individual mission. God didn't make us the same. He made us all different. He made us in his likeness. And we already pointed out that the conflict is man going strong. That is the conflict. It's put there for the understanding. The more you understand that, the more you get to the way you act now. See, where you implement your understanding.
But the question that it brings is, if God is a peace and if God is a love and if God is a this and if God is a that, did God give me this attitude? Or is this still Buddy? But I got it towards Buddy. Will Buddy give me an attitude to then turn around and go back to him with?
If that attitude distracts you from your
mission,
then it's not necessarily that he gave it to you, but he damn sure was using it.
Mm-hmm.
No. What I'm saying is the whole... Okay. I'm going to put it out this way. I'm going to try to do this when I got 9 minutes up. If... Let's say in a military aspect.
Mm-hmm.
He's the enemy force. I go sign up for the military because I just don't like what you're about.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a part of whatever it is that's designed to destroy you. I want to be a part of that. Whereas God is saying, I'm wondering if God is saying, because I'm love and because I'm this and because I'm that. I don't condone the military at all. Regardless of what side you pick, the military ain't mine.
I get it, but you know, you told me this. Corey, you told me this, and I remember. Whatever you think first is what God told you. What first comes to your mind?
God was giving it up.
Follow that.
What do you mean what first comes to my mind? Maybe I'm missing your question.
When you say, as instance, that you fight with, is it buddy giving it to you? Or is it God telling you to fight him with everything you have? As a child, coming up. Because this ain't just started overnight.
No.
It's always been in you, and I know that. And we really ain't really talking the detail of it, but I know. So, when you first initially identify this, how old was it?
I really don't know. If I had to guess, I would guess around 10 and 11.
Okay.
If now, I had to guess.
Now, earlier you said your mission was high school. We may be pointing out your mission. At 10 or 11, that ain't Buddy. And it's still here? No. Buddy is your understanding. He's fell into the understanding part because he's the conflict. Your mission is to destroy Buddy. God has told you that. In some way, manner, shape, or form, that is what he set out for you to do. Don't look at it as militant. Look at it as your mission. The way you go about things, the way I go about things, the way Bone go about things is going to be totally different.
Yeah.
Period. Even if we get outside of this. But at the end of the day, God told you that. You know that. You hold on to it, and you fighting with it because Buddy wants you to fight with it. He can't tell you nothing that you're going to hold on to forever. Anything Buddy gives you, you're going to lose. Whatever God gives you, you have in your hands today. You're set up to destroy him. Go with it. And going with it, you're going through the understanding. However it plays itself out, one thing you do know, God told you.
I think I said to you, said this to you before in the conversation. I see it like, if he was a human being, and I knew he's not working through this human being, this is actually you.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want a gun. I wouldn't want a knife. I wouldn't want nothing. I would want to choke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, put my hand around his neck and just see the life drain out. That might sound very, 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 what's the word?
That's what he's taking from you, so you want to take it back from him.
Oh, man. If I could.
Yeah. And I understand it. I understand it totally, and that's why I'm telling you, that's God pushing you to understand you have to kill him at all costs. Because he wants you so bad. That's all he's telling you. But inside of that, Buddy telling you, hey, he's supposed to be loved and all that.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why he telling you that?
Right.
No, I'm talking to you. No, he ain't. He's talking from you so you will get away from him and look at what you shouldn't be looking at. Choke him. Put your hands around his throat and catch him. Because once you do, you let go.
That's
it. But you know, it's about that time.
Yep.
I just real quick want to thank you boys again. Within today's show, I confirmed some things I think within myself, and I appreciate you for allowing me to do so in this room on this microphone with you guys, and have purpose.
Yeah.
And you might be 30 or 40 before you find it. I'm still looking for it. But you know, we all need some kind of purpose in life. Love you.
The moon,
huh?
The moon.
That's what I see it as.
The moon.
Big. Focus on the moon. I don't know. I don't know nothing. I'm crazy and I'm going to stay crazy, but if I find you, me and you.
Listen, man. We said it's so crazy is understanding. So you understand. And that's what the beauty of it is, man. I sure wish. I'm not. I'm throwing this out here, and I know he ain't gonna do it, but I sure wish T you would take us out of here with that him on charge to keep our head.
Yeah, well, you already know what
you're
gonna do.
You ain't gonna lie for us, you ain't gonna lie for us.
You ain't gonna
lie. Well, I ain't gonna lie for y'all. I would, but they ain't gonna follow me up, so I seem like I'm out there by myself, so I ain't gonna do that. But I will tell you this. If you get a chance and you just sit to yourself, and you ain't doing nothing, take that moment, look at the moon, look at your couch, look at something, just gaze at it, and come home with God in that moment, and you will understand the power. It only takes a moment to feel it. You tell yourself all the time, I must see, just a little bit, and you can feel that power, man. I really enjoyed this conversation today. I always enjoy being with you boys, man. It's just a beauty, man. It's a blessing being in the midst of this. It really is. And I appreciate it. And like I said earlier, man, I love everybody. I love y'all. My homeboys, y'all know that. I love everybody that listens. I love y'all who ain't listening. Why wouldn't I love? That's all I got. You know what I mean? And I want it in return, so I'm going to get it. With that being said, lock your doors, open your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. Boys in unison. T-O-A-B out.
Just one more.
Say it again.
my past, on my future.